Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard on the second Monday of every month at 7 p.m. here on KISU. You can also hear this or all past episodes of the program at kisu.org/programs.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
Welcome to this month's edition of the Bengal Financial Literacy Program. I'm your host, Chris Chatwin, and I have with me today Don Konacek from the College of Business. Don, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have you here. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do here at the university?
Okay, so I teach in the College of Business. I teach primarily financial accounting, but my real specialty is taxes. Before I was a professor, I was a tax consultant in Wisconsin for about 14 years.
Okay, so a tax consultant in Wisconsin, 14 years, and now here you are at ISU.
Yes.
Not just teaching, but also heavily involved with the VITA organization, which we're going to talk about today.
Yes, VITA stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance.
All right. That should tell you right away what today's program is going to be all about. We're going to talk about taxes. No better time to talk about taxes probably than tax season, and we are in the midst of it. Let's just talk taxes. Don, who files taxes?
Okay, so you have a filing requirement if you your AGI is above the standard deduction for the most part. For single, it's $12,400, and for married filing joint, it's $24,800. So what a lot of people forget, though, since I've been doing VITA, especially students, is, you know, a lot of them are under that standard deduction, and so they think, well, we don't have to file. But, you know, a lot of them can get the American Opportunity Credit for educational purposes. And some people can, if they have a W-2 wage, they have withholding, they can get that back for the most part. So even though you don't have a filing requirement, it's good to see if you can get some money back even though you don't.
All right, perfect. So some people just, you have to file.
Okay? You have to file.
Based on your income purposes.
Yes.
And others, income may not have been very much, but it may still be worthwhile to file. Specifically, you're talking students who might have opportunities for some specific education credits.
Yes.
And then also lower income individuals that might be below that total income requirement, $12,400 if it's an individual, if you're a married couple, $24,800, who might still get something like the earned opportunity credit, or specifically if they have children, even the child tax credits that might go with
yeah.
it.
So. There are actually, there's 3 refundable credits, and some students, married students who have children, can get a refundable credit. Now, what that means is your tax is zero, and you still can get money back from the government. And those 3 credits are the earned income credit. You have to have earned money, W-2 wage. The child tax credit is a refundable credit. And then if you're going to school within your first 4 years of schooling, the American Opportunity Credit, which is the educational-based credit.
Yeah, I think certainly in my practice as well, I have certainly seen that where I've had individuals that thought, well, I didn't make very much, so I don't need to file. I had a situation where I had actually a friend who came to me, you know, looking for some advice on taxes. And I asked to look at past year's taxes and said, well, wait a minute, why didn't you claim your kids? Well, I didn't make very much money, so I didn't think it made that big a difference. And exactly what you said,
yeah.
Those refundable credits, you might have zero tax liability, but still have an opportunity to get some money back because of those credits.
Yes, and that can add up and it helps.
Yes.
I had a student just recently who said he didn't really have any earned income in the last couple of years. He's going to school here and he didn't file. And so he's going to look to see, you know, if he can claim that American Opportunity Credit for his education.
Perfect. So let's talk about that American Opportunity Credit then. Might be available to someone in their first 4 years of post-secondary education.
Yes.
So what specifically are they looking for in order to get that credit?
They need to have their 1098-T from the university.
Okay.
And so basically, you know, a lot of students will have scholarships. But if their tuition is greater than their scholarships, they can claim the credit. In fact, I know there's a way of maximizing the American Opportunity Credit, even though you have scholarship money. And so you have to plot more scholarship money into income. But when you get that American Opportunity Credit, when you maximize that, it makes a huge world of difference. You get more money back, basically.
Perfect.
So, and books qualify, you know, room and board does not qualify as a qualified educational expense, but it's tuition, it's books, it's fees.
So they have to get a computer.
Yes.
To get through their coursework.
Yeah, computer qualifies as well. Yes. Yeah.
The books,
mm-hmm.
tuition they pay. Now, that's if what they was paid in tuition exceeds any scholarships or a Pell Grant, for example, that they might get.
Yes.
But what about paid my tuition with student loans?
Oh,
okay, so I didn't actually physically pay that right then and there.
No, you still can claim the American Opportunity Credit even though you took loans. Just later on when you're paying interest on those loans, you can get an AGI deduction for that as well.
Perfect. So even though I might not have paid out of my pocket for my tuition, I took out student loans, I might still qualify for that credit.
Refundable, so, non-refundable. Now, American Opportunity Credit is a non-refundable and a refundable credit. I talked about the refundable portion, meaning you can get money back even though your tax liability is zero. But the non-refundable portion, is if you do have a tax portion, if you have tax due, that zeroes that, the refundable portion zeroes that out.
Okay, so if I have tax liability, can get it zeroed out and then possibly get my refundable
yes.
portion back. If I have no tax liability, I can still get some of that.
Yes, and there's
back.
One crucial piece of information that we get a lot when we get a lot of students that come into VITA, they have to claim themselves in order to get this credit.
Okay, so if mom and dad are still claiming me, I'm a student, mom and dad claim me, I don't get to claim the credit.
Mom and dad do.
But mom and dad do.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about the 1098-T. That's the specific form. So it's available through the university. So if you're a student at ISU, that's going to be available on Bengal Web.
Web. Mm-hmm.
So
finance tab.
Mm-hmm. In the finance tab, Bengal Web. So if you are filing your own taxes, claiming yourself, make sure you get that 1098-T. Take that with you. If you know that mom and dad are claiming you, be a great kid.
And give it to your mom and dad.
Print off the 1098-T and give it to mom and dad and say, hey, mom and dad, there might be some free money in here for you, or
yes.
at least a refund back of some of the taxes you've been paying.
So beyond the American Opportunity Credit, you know, past your first 4 years, there is another credit called the Lifetime Credit. And so that's for people who are beyond their first 4 years. Now, that one's not as generous as the American Opportunity Credit, but it is still a really nice credit. It's a non-refundable credit, meaning it zeroes out your tax. That's it. You don't get any money back, even though your tax liability is zero.
Okay. So I've graduated with my bachelor's. I'm moving on to my master's. Or if it took me several years to receive my bachelor's
mm-hmm.
and I'm still in school, I can actually still apply for certain credits,
yes.
the lifetime learning
lifetime.
Credit.
Yep. And I know with the new tax law, they increased the AGI thresholds to make that a little more generous.
Okay. So AGI, as Don's been mentioning, the adjusted gross income. Obviously, maybe the easiest way to think about it is just start with what your total income is.
Yes.
And then from a lovely tax standpoint, we get to look at some different things and we arrive at what's called AGI or adjusted gross income. But for everyone else out there, if you start with your income and we'll work from there.
And there's a few just deductions you can take from that.
A few little deductions to take. Perfect. So that's who files taxes. We talked about maybe some specific credits for people with children or lower income individuals that earned income credit. Talked about students and education credits. What about here in Idaho, since that's where we're at right now? Filing in Idaho, any specific Idaho credits that people should know about?
Yes. So if you contribute money to an institution such as ISU or KISU, you get credit from Idaho State. The maximum amount of credit is $500, but $1,000 for married filing joint. So that's a really nice credit. There's another credit that you can get if you give money to the Idaho Youth Ranch. The maximum amount of that credit is $200. And then the grocery credit. The grocery credit is $100 per person, $120 if you're above the age of 65. Even if you don't have a filing requirement, that grocery credit, you can still file and get money back. Basically, you're getting money back for taxes, sales tax you paid on groceries during the year.
Yeah, since here in Idaho, we tax our groceries. Some states do not, but since we tax our groceries, that grocery credit becomes kind of a give back or a kickback, I guess.
Yes, and it's 120 over 65.
So that's a great point, because we might have some individuals out there who are retired. Maybe Social Security is the only source of income. So they're thinking to themselves, I don't need to file taxes because of where my income's at. But if they do, then you have that credit available to you, $120 if you're over 65.
Yeah, and they don't have a filing requirement. They don't have to file the actual Idaho return. They can just file the grocery credit form.
Just a specific form just for the grocery credit.
Yes.
And then you mentioned if we donate cash to an educational institution here in Idaho, so the university or this wonderful radio station that we're broadcasting from, you can get that credit. And then you mentioned specifically the youth ranch. I love the youth ranch one because, you know, spring cleaning comes around. A lot of people cleaning out stuff. Maybe post-Christmas, you're cleaning out the old toys to replace with the new toys. And there's a lot of great places that you can take your goods. But I do tell my clients, specifically Idaho Youth Ranch, because proceeds go to youth rehabilitation, those donations, not just cash to the youth ranch, can be a credit. So when they ask, you know, do you need a tax receipt? And once you've given those goods, you say yes. And you take that with you when you file taxes.
And a lot of people will take it to Goodwill or DI and they don't get that credit. It's just the Idaho Youth Ranch. So make sure it's the Idaho Youth Ranch.
So, and that's specific on the Idaho side of things as a specific credit. You know, obviously donations of any kind can be an itemized deduction on the federal. It's one of my favorite things to talk about, both with my students when I teach and also with my clients when I'm talking to them. Because oftentimes we'll be approached about something and be told, oh, well, if you donate to this, it's a tax donation or it's a tax deduction. Usually the response I give is, well, it might be a tax deduction.
It's qualified. It has to be a qualified institution, a 501c3. But what's good about the charitable deduction, so most people are going to take the standard deduction instead of the itemized deduction because for married filing joint, it's $24,800, single $12,400 again. Mm-hmm. But they did change that with the new law. Now, if you do itemize, it's 100% of AGI. It used to be 60% of AGI. So if you gave charitable donations that are beyond 60% of your adjusted gross income, you were capped. Now it's because of COVID, the COVID relief package said it's 100% of your AGI. That's only if you itemize. If you don't have enough to itemize and you want to take the standard deduction, you'll get a deduction for $300. And that's whether you file jointly or not. But the new law in December did pass for 2021. It's going to be $600 in 2021 for married filing joint. But right now it's just $300 for everybody. So if you gave cash, and it has to be cash, I mean, you can take a $300 deduction on your return whether you itemize or not.
So whether I itemize or not, if I made a donation to a qualified institution, so a nonprofit essentially, a 501c3.
Yes.
I'm going to get that deduction. And if it happened to be an educational institution here in Idaho, I also get the credit. In Idaho. So kind of getting the best of both worlds when we do it that way, aren't we?
Yes.
So for those unfamiliar with maybe itemized deductions, because we talked about a standard deduction, so $12,400. If I'm single, that essentially means $12,400 of income that will not be taxed. If I'm married, it's double that. If I'm head of household, we haven't talked about, we're going to be in the middle.
It's about $18,650 or something like that.
Yeah, if we do the math in our heads, we just split the difference
between
that single
and
that married filing joint. That's standard, so everybody's entitled to that. But itemized, you mentioned itemized deductions. So donations to charity would go on that itemized side of things. What are some of the other itemized deductions that we can look at?
So medical expenses, legitimate medical expenses, and that's 7.5% of AGI below the line deduction.
So we kind of have that threshold, right, that we have to clear?
Yes, there's thresholds. Yeah, it's always based on pretty much AGI, your adjusted gross income. Real estate taxes, and that's capped at $10,000, though.
So if I own my house and I'm paying taxes on the property.
So if you own your house or you have a parcel of land or is capped at 10,000, or actually I should say that taxes in general is capped at 10,000. That includes your state withholding on your W-2. So all your taxes, your state withholding and your real estate taxes capped at 10,000.
Capped at 10,000.
Yes. Okay. And then mortgage interest. You can deduct your mortgage interest up to your loan of $750,000. So you can take that. And then charitable contributions. That's pretty much the major ones.
Those are the main ones we look at, right?
Yeah, the main
property
ones.
So if you own a home, then it might be worth collecting some information. Okay, you're going to get the statement from your bank or your lender that's going to show how much interest was paid. Probably if you're paying through an escrow account, that same statement will also show your real estate taxes. So if you're owning a home, it might be worthwhile to be collecting this information and asking yourself, can I itemize?
Yes.
And essentially then, if I add up the charitable that qualifies, the interest on my home, the
taxes,
property tax,
the
my
state
taxes
withholding.
That I paid, mm-hmm. add up medical expense if it qualifies.
Yeah, medical expenses.
I've seen, unfortunately, very few clients that are going to qualify for that because of that threshold.
I've seen very few, too. I don't even count it in there.
It's one of those things that you really hope that you don't ever have enough medical expense
right.
to be able to itemize, because then you had some really hefty medical
yes.
bills. And that's what you paid out of pocket,
right.
not necessarily what was covered by insurance.
I know they're raising that to 10% of AGI. It goes back and forth,
it
and it has.
Goes back and forth with every tax.
But still,
law
even with
change.
10% of AGI, still we don't see a lot of it yeah. unless somebody's been dealing with a lot of medical issues.
For sure. But if I add it all up and it's greater than the standard, then
take it.
I'll take that. We're going to take whichever one's greater.
Yes.
Excellent. So that kind of brings us to maybe this time of year, obviously through January and then even into the first week of February, there's a lot of mail coming to the house. What specifically am I looking for? What should I be hanging on to?
For sure, your W-2 wages, any statements that you receive from charitable organizations. Obviously, if we're going to see if you can itemize, you want your real estate tax bills, the amount that you actually paid in cash, your mortgage interest statement, your 1098-T from your educational institution if you're going to school, any documents related to if you are investing in stocks, did you get interest income, dividend income, did you sell stocks, capital gains and losses. Those are the primary. If you had rental property, any expenses and income regarding rental property. So pretty much if it relates to any income you earned in 2020, bring it in.
So really, right now is a bad time to just mistake things for junk mail.
Yes, don't make sure you look at it.
Right now, we may be open everything.
And another question that a lot of people have come to me about is the stimulus checks. A lot, you know, there's rumor that's saying that it's going to be taxable. So there were two stimulus monies that went out. The first one was in August. The second one was early in January, I believe, this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first one was $1,200. Or $2,400 for a couple, $1,200 per individual, and then $500 for your dependents if your dependents were under 17 years old.
Yeah.
The second one was $600 for everybody. So the tax return this year also does include both of those. And so if you did not get both stimulus checks, there is a recovery rebate credit that you can take on your tax return as well if you didn't get the amount that you should have gotten, you know, based on your AGI and things like that, your adjusted gross income. But a lot of people also forget that if you had a child born in 2020, you can get that money as well.
Even though you probably didn't get it because they didn't have record of it.
Exactly. Like that would be $1,100. It would be $500 for the first one and $600 for the second one. So if you did have a child born in 2020, you can get a credit for $1,100.
So this is a great thing for us to talk about right now, the stimulus. First of all, I think you answered the question, but stimulus, not taxable.
Not taxable.
That is one question I get asked all the time.
Yep.
We don't even report it on there anywhere in the income section. So you don't have to pay tax. That was free money. The next thing, if I didn't get my stimulus, which in hearing from people and talking to clients and everything else, this second one that went out in January seems like there was a bit of a fiasco, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
Many people waiting, wondering, not receiving. So if they didn't get that, or didn't get the first one, or it wasn't what it should have been based on a child being born or going off of information from past year's taxes, we can actually file for it and get it for you on your tax return
as a credit
this year.
Yeah. And another question is that PPP program, the Payroll Protection Program, mm-hmm. that businesses have been taking loans out. We were kind of a little bit nervous as to how to handle that because they got this money and it's pretty much a cancellation of debt if you use that money for qualified expenses, especially paying wages to your employees. Mm-hmm. Now, are the wage expense or the payroll expenses deductible even though you got that payroll protection money? And it is. You can, so that money is not included in income and you get the deduction for those expenses to pay your wages to your employees. So
any small business owners out there who receive that PPP money, the payroll protection program. And very much this was one of those things that we as tax accountants dealing with businesses were watching, wondering, waiting, and it's kind of the 11th hour in
December.
It was
the 11th hour where that was like, is that taxable and can we deduct those expenses?
So if you got that from a business standpoint, not only is it not considered as taxable income, but you also get the deduction for the qualified expenses that were paid.
The
so
payroll
you kind of get
taxes.
Best of both worlds there as
yes.
well. Well, I feel like we could talk for hours about taxes.
I could.
The tax code in and of itself is so long and complex that it really would take hours to talk about everything. So maybe the best thing for listeners out there when there's questions about taxes is talk to a tax professional. And there's obviously many places out there you can look. You can go to obviously a local mom and pop, as we call them, type place. Tax preparer. Well, let's just say this. To be a tax preparer, all you actually have to do in this country is this year pay a $35 fee, I believe it is, to register and have a what's called a P10, and now I can file taxes professionally. I wouldn't recommend going to someone like that. There's lots of options out there. Right now, the option I want to talk about is VITA.
So even though VITA is a program on campus where I teach students to learn how to prepare taxes. So a lot of people may be nervous that, you know, a student's preparing my taxes. I don't know much, but we do get them ready. They have to take 3 exams in order to volunteer. I have to take those exams.
Mm-hmm.
It's a code of conduct exam. It's and then a basic exam. And the basic exam is very difficult. So they have to pass this exam. We do have reviewers in this program as well. So it's not only people who are, you know, amateurs at preparing tax returns. We have people who've been doing this for a while. And we have to take the advanced exam. So there at VITA, there is at least 3 levels of review per tax return. So I just want to give people out there, you know, some reassurance that
the reassurance and the peace of mind that
yes, that we're doing what we can to make sure we're pushing out accurate returns.
So it's a program that exists basically to give accounting students valuable experience, hands-on experience while they're in school. It's overseen by volunteers both from the College of Business and from the professional community
yes.
who oversee this work. So as far as accuracy level of detail, there can be a comfort in what's being looked after and reviewed there.
And it's not only accounting students. I encourage people who aren't accounting students to volunteer because everyone pretty much has to prepare a tax return.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, so they learn. The best way to learn is hands-on.
Hands-on experience.
Yes.
So that's who's preparing it. Who can participate in the program, meaning who can come to VITA and have their taxes done?
So generally, and it's pretty loose rules, but they say VITA in general, it's about if you make income less than $57,000. So we prepare tax returns for students on campus, but the majority of our clients are people from the community. And I can't even tell you how many times the amount of appreciation we've gotten from clients is just enormous because, you know, they can take their return to H&R Block and they'll get a small refund of $150, but H&R Block will take that refund of $150.
Take their fees.
Yeah, I had an older gentleman who was getting back about $175 and he looked at me, he says, are you going to take that from me? And I'm like, nope, it's all yours.
So through VITA, it's 100% free. It's a service that that is offered to the community. If your income is under $57,000,
roughly,
mm-hmm. you're going to qualify for that. So where and when is probably the question on everybody's lips.
Right. So we do the tax returns in Rendezvous, one of the buildings on campus, room 213 and 215. We are practicing social distancing. We have chairs out in the hallway, but it's every Thursday from 5 to 9 till about April 1st.
So Thursday nights from 5 until 9 in the Rendezvous building.
213 and 215.
Across from the library here on campus. Rooms 213 and 215. That runs through April, so every Thursday night.
Yes, and what I do need to make sure, it's pretty much going to be a drop-off pickup site. In past years, clients could sit with the students and, you know, talk.
This year because of coronavirus.
Because of COVID. But we're going to have chairs out in the hallway for people to sit. And so if we have questions, we'll just, you know, go back and forth just to practice the social distancing.
Perfect. So anyone out there looking to have their taxes done, looking for a free service that is not just free, but also has a level of review and assurance in it, come see us at VITA Thursday nights until April 1st, Rendezvous building, room 213 and 215.
And it's free e-filing. A lot of people ask that.
Oh, are we going to mail it? No, free e-filing so you can have your refund standard time within 3 weeks is typically what the IRS says. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for being the guest on the show. I mean, we'll probably have to have you back to talk taxes again.
Would love to do that.
Because we just enjoy it. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing everybody at VITA.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard on the second Monday of every month at 7 p.m. here on KISU. You can also hear this or all past episodes of the program at kisu.org/programs.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.